Good morning, everybody.
Good
morning. No, what we call אחרי החגים. That's it. Everything is finished. Now we start normal life. And there is something that we have to realize. We talked about it a little. People do appreciate the Yom Tovs and everything, but they don't realize that the real life is now. That's the whole idea. It's like, I always compare it to a petrol station. You know, you have a car, you go on the road, and the petrol, you know, you have to fill up petrol. So all the Yom Tov, Shabbos, and Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, they are all petrol stations to fill us up in order that we can do the normal thing that we do every day, because that's not a big deal to be a tzaddik or to be righteous when you are on Yom Tov with all the family, and you in shul, and davening, and everything is beautiful. That's the light that you should take with you now. Now is the real test. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, we had Rosh Hashanah, we had Yom Kippur, and then we had this beautiful Yom Tov of Sukkot, and I hope everybody enjoyed it. And now we're going out of the Sukkot. And it's the same story as Noach. Noach is inside the ark. And he's there, and then comes the day he has to go out. You know, as we have to go out from the ark of the Yom Tovs, from the Chagim, and start living normal life. And I want to approach a very interesting point with Noach. Noach, on the first pasuk of the parsha, is mentioned 3 times. And we all know that the Torah just doesn't use words for nothing. Ele toldot Noach, 1. Noach, twice. Ish tzadik tamim haya betorotav et ha'elokim italech Noach. 3 times Noach at one pasuk. What is the Torah trying to tell us? I can read the pasuk. Ele toldot Noach. Ish tzadik tamim haya betorotav et ha'elokim italech. Noach was a tzadik and he walked with God. And everybody understands what I'm saying. Why do I need to put in the same pasuk 3 times Noach? And then another interesting thing. What is toldot? Ele toldot Noach. What's the explanation in English, for example? What is toldot? What would it be in English?
Look over here.
What?
Generations.
Generations?
No, look over here.
History, you can say.
History.
You get the translation here.
So, right afterwards, what is the Torah telling us? Vayoled Noach shlosha banim. 1 minute. So, if this is the case, so toldot is really the generation that come from you. But we already learned it in the last parsha. So why do we need to repeat it? And here we come to a question. Why was Noah saved? Why do you think? That's the reason he was saved. That's what a lot of people think. But the real truth is that in the last parsha was written, Noach matzachen be'enei Hashem. Noach was liked by God. In other words, what saved him is not that he was a tzaddik,
but God liked him.
And we all want to know, why did he like him? Because if we know why he liked him, we also are going to be saved. Because we have to understand that, in other words, it's not a matter of being a tzaddik or not, it's something a little more. And it's very interesting because you read Bereshit, we didn't talk about it. Bereshit starts with the creation of the world and ends with the destruction of the world, which is unbelievable. There is a big lesson here. But the Torah ends Noach matzachen b'nei Hashem. In other words, in this whole corrupted world, there was a guy that saved the world, the new world. That's he created a new world. This guy had something unique that we want to learn and understand what it's all about. Because if we know why the Kodesh Baruch Hu liked Noach, we have the secret to good life, long life, and maybe for the Mashiach to come as quickly as possible. So let's try and understand what made Noach different from all the others. And there is another point that we have to realize. Normally, when you judge somebody, it has to be at the age that you can judge him. And here, in the flood, everybody died. Even infant, tinokot. People didn't do anything harm to nobody. And the animals, the whole thing. What's the idea behind it? Of course, we can talk about it for hours, and I haven't got hours. But we want to get to one point that we will help us in our way. Because as we say, the Torah is not telling us stories. It's a way of life. So Noah is being saved. Not because of the mitzvahs he did. Why? Because otherwise, if this was the reason, God wouldn't kill the babies. But it's written that the reason that God is destroying the world is kinicham Hashem. God, if we can say it, in order for us to understand, had regrets. He said, I know what? I did a mistake. I don't want this world. I'm going to destroy it. In other words, in a case like this, he destroys everything. But then, there is a guy, Noach Matzachen b'nei Hashem. And the answer is, in Ele Toldot Noach. As we say, Toldot, says Rashi, Toldotav shel Tzadikim, Ma'asim Tovim. What is the Toldot of a Tzadik? The good deeds he does. Those are the results of the things he is doing, the mitzvahs. That's the reason that Noach was saved. What particular mitzvah? Because we understand already that it's not only a mitzvah, it's something a little more. Vayoled Noach shlosha banim. In other words, it is connected to the next generation and it is connected to good deeds. So what is the good deed that Noach did with the generations to come? He educated his kids. Though the situation was terrible, the whole world was corrupt, and he managed to keep a normal family in this thing. And by the way, this is exactly the reason that Avraham Avinu is being chosen to be our father. Because God is saying it very clearly. You know why I choose him? Leman yetzaveh et hadorot acharav. Because he is going to transfer the idea of one God, the idea of the Torah, to the next generation. In other words, what God wants us to do? Continuance. Because something that has no continuance has got no meaning. And the most important thing is our children. To pass the next generation. To pass the word to the next generation. And this was what God liked by Noach. Noach Matzachen b'nei Hashem. Why did God like Noach? Because he passed the message to the next generation. Though it was a difficult world to live in. All corrupted. And by the way, you know why they were so corrupted? The Gemara in Sanhedrin says this generation had unbelievable life. They had the best fruits in the world. Those are the first fruits. They had the best environment, no illnesses, didn't get old. In other words, and they lived for hundreds of years, and when they died young. So life was a whole big party. They had everything they needed. They were, let's say, if you want to say this guy is very successful, this whole generation was very successful. From whatever you want, they felt good, there were no illnesses. They were had a lot of power because they stayed young for hundreds of years. And they had all the best environment around them.
And they didn't have to work.
Didn't have to do anything. So the whole life was a big, long party. So you know what happens the next stage? Vayishman yeshurun vayivad. If it's too good, you start, instead of being grateful, you're starting to think that you are the one who controls everything. You are the one who has the power, and you are the one that can do whatever you want. Who needs God? Says the Torah, I created the world and I destroyed it, in the same parsha, to tell you that there is a reason for this world. What is the reason for this world? Noach matzachen b'enei Hashem. If you would think for a minute, why did God destroy the world? So the parsha tells us, the last parsha, ki rabba ra'ata adam ba'aretz. Evil is all around. V'chol yetzer machshevot libo rak ra kol hayom. Whatever he thinks about is only evil, bad things the whole day. So God destroys the world. Okay. What happens after the flood? What is God saying? Unbelievable thing. Yes, and then he adds a very interesting phrase. Lo osif lekalel od et ha'adama ba'avur adam, ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra'a minu'orav, because evil is with him from the day he was born. So I want to understand. God destroys the world because of evil. Now he renews the world because of evil. What's going on here? And the secret is again, v'noach matzachen b'nei Hashem. The world was created for us, for the human being. That's why our sages ask, if men were corrupt, all the human race was corrupt, why didn't God just kill all the human race and left the animals? What did they do wrong? But the thing is, if there is no Adam, if there is no human being, is there any reason for this world?
No.
In other words, what is the reason for all this world? Us. We are the acid. That's for us, what's created for us. And that's the reason that when God destroys the world, he wants to teach us a lesson. I build a world for you, says the Mirsilat Yesharim. Look around and see what God wants from you. It's in your power to build the world, and it's your power to destroy the world. Re'eh al tekalkel et olami. Don't do damages to this world. And that is the idea of Parashat Bereshit. To tell us, this beautiful world was created for us. So Adam HaRishon sinned. And still the world exists. But then, the corruption was all over because it was too good. So God wants to teach us, you know, I give you everything. There is a mission. There is something you have to do here. And if you don't do it, and on the contrary, you do the opposite, there is no reason for this world to exist. So, Noach matzachen b'nei Hashem. There is a sample. You see, look at Noach and understand and realize what is your job in life. Because Noach is the one, if you want to compare it, is the same as Adam HaRishon. Because the whole world is destroyed. And now it starts a whole new world from Noach. Everybody else is dead. There's nothing. Nobody is left.
But his children are there already.
They're his children.
Yeah.
I'm saying he is the, let's say he is the father of the new world. Let's understand who Noach is. So God tells us, Noach ish tzaddik tamim haya bedorotav. This is the highest level of a tzaddik. Tzaddik tamim, like he is a complete tzaddik. But when he talks to him, otcha matzati tzaddik, I found you as a tzaddik, and now you haven't got the tamim. The tamim is not there anymore. And then, the third time, is when he comes out of the ark, and he's being called, not a tzaddik, not tzaddik tamim, but Noach ish ha'adamah. The man of earth, the man of the land. What is the Torah trying to tell us? Or what happened to Noah? And this is exactly why we have Noach three times in the first Passover. There are three stages. The first stage is when Noach is Tzadik Tamim. So a lot of people think that Tzadik Tamim is much more than a normal Tzadik. But the Rav Zalman Sorotkin explains the opposite. Tzadik Tamim is when Noach was, like, you know, they call it the Tzadik in Pels. You know the Tzadik, it's cold. He puts a coat on himself. He is warm. But everybody else is cold. But there is a Tzadik, when it's cold, he brings a heater. So now it's not only for him, it's for everybody else. So they say Noah was like the Tzadik in Pels. Like he covered himself, protected his own family, didn't care about what's happening outside. Avram Avinu from the other side, he was going out. He was the heater. He didn't only take care of himself, he took care of everybody. So, what is better? Normally we would think very simply, of course Avraham Avinu. But it's not so simple. Because there are times in life that you have to close yourself. If the corruption is so bad, you have to be careful not to be in contact with the corruption. The Rambam says that the influence of the environment and of the society around you, nobody can escape it. It's there. So what do you do if you want to stay at Tzaddik and the place is corrupt, totally corrupt?
You take them away.
You take them away. So the first stage of Noach was this. So we say, okay, but it's not so nice. Says the Rav Zalman Sorotkin, that's the second stage. Second stage, God calls him Tzaddik without Tamim. What does he mean? It sounds like it's going down in a level. He says, no, this is a different level. Because God is telling Noach to build an ark for how many years? 120 years. Imagine to yourself, this old guy standing there banging and building, and everybody comes like, what do you do? I'm building an ark. What for? There's going to come a flood. Maybe the first year somebody believed him. But after 20 years, he's still doing the same job, and there is no flood. Imagine to yourself how they laughed at him. And he is still going on. So, does he have a connection with this environment now? Does he have a connection with the generation? Of course. They see what he does, they ask him questions, and they get answer, and he's still going on and doing it, and warning them. Now he is involved. That's Tzaddik without Tamim. It's not closed. Now he's open to everybody. So the year 110, he's still building the ark and still telling off the people. What would people think about a guy like this? You hospitalize him in some place and that's it.
No. How can the flood come if the ark is not ready?
Why did he need 120 years to build it? It's very interesting. So what you're saying is...
Yeah,
exactly. So why is the plan for 120 years?
We don't know.
So we want to realize what's all about. You see, the power of a man who stands for 120 years and every morning he tells the people there's going to come a flood. Who is going to believe it? And he's still doing it. And he's still going on. This is somebody who listens to God and is a real tzaddik. But, you know, the whole world is destroyed. And Noah goes with his small family into the ark. And then afterwards, thank God he is being saved. He comes out and the Torah calls him Noach Isha Adama. What happened? Isha Adama is really going down from a tzaddik, Tzadik Tamim, to Isha Adama. So what's the idea here? And he sins. What does he do? Instead of doing something, he puts a grape and there is a vineyard and he drinks wine and he's getting shikur and we all know the story. So in other words, this was not very clever. So the people say, yeah, because now he's a level of Isha Adama. But Isha Adama wants to tell us something. You know, when we are closed in the ark, we are closed from the environment, from the society, we can be tzaddikim. But the minute we come out and we meet everybody around us, it's not so easy. You can very easily go down. But there is another lesson here. Let's stand instead of Noah. Noah lived Dorotav in a few generations, and he went through hell. Corruption. The world is destroyed. Baruch Hashem is being saved. Now, what do you think? When he comes out of the ark now, what does he think? I finished my job. That's it.
To say thank you to God.
That's what he does the first thing. He says thank you to God. And God says, oh, it's a good smell. But then, immediately he does something that is not exactly at his level. Why? Because Noach nach. Noach nach. By the way, Noach is chen. Matzah chen b'nei Hashem. Noach. Noach is also nach, to rest. He rests. There was another figure in the Torah that thought that it finished its job, and this was Yaakov Avinu. Vayeshev Yaakov. After he raised up his children, he thought, Bati la mnucha v'nachala, now I can rest. Vayeshev Yaakov. What is the Torah telling us? Kafatz alav rugzo shel Yosef. The whole story with Joseph starts. Why? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Lo dayam la tzadikim, not enough for the tzadikim. What's waiting for them in the next world? They want to rest here? Here there is no rest. Here you have a job to do. And it doesn't end. And by the way, if you're talking about education also doesn't end. Somebody asked a rabbi, 18, I finished educating my kids. Says, we never end. Even if he's 50 and 60, you still have to educate him. It's your job. And this is exactly what Noach is trying to tell us. Noach thought that after he was saved, and this world is a new world, he can rest. Or it happens to us, if you look around, and with this we'll end this shiur. Most of you, if not all of you, are olim. You lived most of your life abroad, not in Eretz Yisrael. And you were connected to your communities. And one of the reasons you were connected to your communities is because you were living with foreigners. You were living with goyim. So you had to have the connection with your community. What happened to a lot of people that came to Eretz Yisrael, and they thought, that's it. Here everybody is Jewish. So now we can be chilonim. Chol. They suddenly become Isha Adama. They said, where in Broad we have to keep on ourselves as Jews. Here everybody is Jewish. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people that really, I'm not talking about, it's not the idea of doing mitzvot or not doing, as I said, Noach matzachen b'nei Hashem. It's transferring the message to the next generation. So the minute that the next generation sees that the parents don't keep anything and don't care about nothing that is connecting them to God, what do they think? That's the worst thing you can do. And this is what Noach is trying to tell us. Even when you go, when came to the promised land, Baruch Hashem, the job is not ended. Even if we finish the Chagim and we got this holiness of the Chagim, now is the time to go out of the ark, to sit here in Eretz Israel and do the mitzvahs and do whatever we can to pass the message to the next generation. This is where Noach Matzachen B'nei Hashem. So if we want God to really, really like what we're doing, what should we do? We should keep the connection with the next generation. Bezrat Hashem, I hope that we will be successful. And I'm sure that most of us here are quite successful in this matter. And Bezrat Hashem, we should have more and more success, because this is the only way that God will say, wow, I like them. Let's bring the Geula, Bezrat Hashem. Yes.
I have to say that in Diaspora, we are conscious of not being, of it not being our land. So we become more devoted to our Judaism. When you come here, my experience is I don't care if I'm Jewish, I'm an Israeli.
That's what I said. That's exactly what I said. You're saying it in different words, but that's exactly the problem. People think that when they got here, that's it.
Yes.
And it's not it.
Yes, but your children don't. the old generation of Yemenite Jews sometimes.
That was a, I, I'm
they
not.
Came and they were religious.
It's terrible.
The next generation is finished.
But you know who was the one to blame? Yeah, because you know who was to blame here, and it's not nice to say, but it unfortunately it's our government.
Unfortunately. They made them going.
Of course. Absolutely. They made them going. Yeah. All the kibbutzim of Toshomer HaTzair, they took those religious Jews and put them in, as we said now.
That was evil.
Noach Isha Adama. That's what we said now. That's what, yeah. Because, you see, the idea here was they thought that they are right. That's the problem. Everybody thinks he's right. They thought, we are now in Eretz Israel. We are not, let's say, being prosecuted. So here, we have to act like we have our country, like everybody else. And that's exactly the point. You cannot be like everybody else. We are the chosen people. We have a job. And our job is to bring not only us, the whole world. So if you don't keep anything, so how are you going to teach the world? If you're not teaching yourself and your children. And that was a big mistake. And we're paying for it. We're paying for it all the time. So, okay. So what do we do? We try to do, and each one of us will try to do the best. And that's what we do. Yes.
Somebody once told me, you shouldn't go on Aliyah, or if you go to live in Israel, you need to elevate yourself spiritually, otherwise you defeat the whole purpose.
What they say is, you see, when you're abroad, it's like a king's got a courtyard, and you live in a faraway village. So, you know, not being expected to, like, worship the king. Nobody sees you. You are far away. You do whatever you want. But when you're in the courtyard, you have to wear special clothes. You have to have special manners. You know, till today, if you're invited for the queen in England, they give you a coat. You have to dress with a certain tie, a certain coat. They give you exactly what you have to do every minute. If she approaches you, how should you answer? So, Malchuta de Rekiya ki Malchuta de Ara, the same way is with God, and even much, much, much higher. So when you are in the courtyard of God, how should you behave? Of course, better. But you see, there's sometimes an excuse for those who don't want to come. It says, "Oh, I cannot be so righteous." So what do you say? You don't want to be near your father? It's not only our king; it's our father. Don't you want to be near your father? Okay. I have to do a few more things. So what? At the end of the day, is it good or bad? You know, I went through Mea Shearim on Chol HaMoed. There are nice things and there are bad things. But I like to look always on the nice things. Because there's... And, you know, there was this guy from New York with a little kid. And he asked, Moishale, have you seen so many Jews in one place? And I liked it. Because, you know, there were hundreds of thousands of Jews from all over the world. Not only from Israel. Jerusalem was filled, 100% occupied. The hotels were 100% occupied. And Jerusalem was, and this, like all those small alleys of Mea Shearim and Geula, and all those sukkahs, you know, it's like you're going in time. You're going back in time. You know, some of the, if you go back on the back, you see those staircases and the sukkahs, and it's like, you know, the same thing as the shtetl, the same thing as Jerusalem was 100 years ago, 150 years ago. And it's an unbelievable experience when you feel Jewish life in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, still is going on and moving. And it's not only the Haredim, it's everybody's there. Everybody's going around Jerusalem. And it was a very good feeling. But that's the way we have to look at things. I don't want to say they were sending them Pashkavils, they like those things and what's written on them, but I try to look at the good side. And the good side is that we can be together and we can love each other because at the end of the day, we all want the same thing. And by the way, the whole world wants the same thing. Unfortunately, there is no guide. And the guide of this world, we are supposed to be. So if we don't do our job, what do you want? So I'm saying, each one of us is like, oh, you're talking big. I'm not talking big. You know, you have your family. How did Noah start? With his own family. That's the way you start with your own family. And then another one, and another one, and Bezrat Hashem.
Did you read that Roniot copy I gave you, that letter? I asked you to, if we could discuss it about prayer with this professor at Cambridge who wrote about the repetition of prayer. He's trying to understand and why. When we read on the Yom Tovim,
the
Chagim, it's all repetitive and repetitive and repetitive. It goes on. The same thing. Why?
You see, the idea in davening is, it's like Yetziat Mitzrayim. We say Yetziat Mitzrayim every day, a few times a day.
And but that's coming from you, when you're doing it on your own.
No, you have to do it.
But
it's a part of the prayer. It's also a part of something that repeats itself under all the prayers. Yetziat Mitzrayim is one of the things. I don't think there is anything else more than this. And if you ask him, that's the same question. Why do I have to repeat Yetziat Mitzrayim all the time? Even when I pray one prayer, I think I mentioned it a few times, Yetziat Mitzrayim. Why? Why do I have to repeat things? That's the question. The answer is, it's like in nature, I don't know if we talked about it, in nature, what is rare is very expensive. But not necessarily, it's a matter of life and death. We don't need it. Let's put it this way. Diamonds are very rare and they're very expensive. Can I live without diamonds?
Yes.
Of course. Air. Baruch Hashem doesn't cost us money yet. Can I live without air?
No.
The same thing is this repetition. The repetition is to understand this is our life. This is like breathing air. You breathe air all the time. I understand what you're saying. And when I was young, and still today, I don't like long prayers. I don't like.
That's not what I'm saying.
Yes.
I'm saying if you are reading all this, it eventually becomes like rote.
Yes.
Just reading. But if you're praying for yourself, that is where the kavona comes in.
That's what I wanted to say right now. Because I don't like long prayers. Why? Because of the reason that you're starting losing interest.
Yes.
And you say, so what I'm doing is, I try to concentrate at least at the part of the tefillah. You see, this is exactly the idea. God gives us a lot of things to do. And you can choose something that you can be special with it. We cannot be special with everything. We all understand it. Now, the whole idea of the prayers is that the prayers are going to everybody. Not only to me, maybe I'm more clever, maybe I'm less clever, maybe I understand, maybe I don't understand. Some people, you know, if you don't repeat things 100 times, it doesn't get into their head. Other people, you repeat 100 times and they don't care about it anymore. So this is why here and there we have, what is David HaMelech saying? Achat shalti me'et Hashem, ota avakesh, shivti bevet Hashem kol yemei chayai. I'm asking one thing from God. I want to sit in the house of God all the days of my life. ולבקר בהיכלו. לבקר, some people think it's to visit. But לבקר, the normal explanation is ביקורת. ביקורת is to contradict, to criticism. What is David HaMelech saying? I'm sitting in the house of God. And I can get to a different problem. What is this problem? This problem is I'm getting used to things. I'm doing it again and again and again. And what will happen is I'm not going to do it from the right reason. So I have to stop and criticize myself and check. Am I on the right way? Am I doing the right things? That's from one side, to be connected to God all times. From the other side, because I'm, let's say I'm all the time doing the same things, I have to criticize myself and put some effort into awakening myself into be in simcha, to do it like I'm doing it the first time. Yes, there are things that we do. By the way, that's one reason that we have the vidui, ashamnu bagadnu, that nosach Ashkenaz, they don't say it only in Yamim Noraim. They don't say ashamnu bagadnu the whole year. Here in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of the Yekes, they don't do it at all. But here in Eretz Yisrael, in a lot of Minyanim, they do it on Monday and Thursday. But on the normal days, they don't do. Nosach Sfarad is, they do it every day. So somebody once asked me, you don't care about Hashem Lo Baganu, it's a thing, it's an unbelievable thing, and Shloshes Remidot, Hashem Hashem, and Male Rachamim, all those, this is unbelievable. He says, yes, that's the reason we don't do it every day. Because when you do it every day, what did you say? You get used to it, and then it's nothing for you.
It loses meaning.
It loses its meaning. So yes, unfortunately, This is one of our problems. So that's why in certain places they decided, because of this reason, for example, the Yekes, they don't say Ashamnu Bagadnu, and they don't say Shlosh Esre Midot Rachamim, only on Yamim Noraim. So when you get to it, wow, you have this special feeling. Now, the whole idea of repeating things in the tefillah is, it's like, you see, as I said, not everybody is the same level. And don't forget, it all starts from a very simple reason. In the old times, not everybody knew how to pray.
And
so there was a chazan.
And they didn't have books.
Yeah, and didn't have books. So the chazan, he used to say it, and people used to listen to him. Today, Baruch Hashem, everybody is reading and writing, and we can read from the Siddur or from the Machzor. And yes, there are certain things that we do again and again and again. But if we look at it in the, let's say, in the right proportion, we'll find out, yes, Yontov is Yontov. So we try to put it in ourselves, and especially if it's an important point. So that's, for example, Yetziat Mitzrayim. So we have, with all this repetition, we have one night that the whole night we talk about Yetziat Mitzrayim. And you would think that, you know, if every day I'm talking about, why do I need this special night? But that's exactly the thing. Because we have to fight it from both sides. One side, I have to get used to it. I have to do it every time because it's air. It's like air for me. From the other side, as you say, I'm getting used to it. So this is why we have Pesach, to remind us that we shouldn't get used to it. We have to really understand what it's all about. So what I would do personally, if I see that praying is repeating and I'm losing interest, I will look and try and find a new explanation. I will try and concentrate on it's not the quantity, it's the quality.
Exactly.
So Be'ezrat Hashem, I hope.
Thank you. Yes. I'll get the greetings of the Father while everybody else is praying. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but I do. Proverbs or
what, you see, we can talk with God on everything we want. We don't have to be, you see, there are certain parts on the tefillah that are crucial, let's say. But most of the tefillah is Chazal did something for us to connect. Now, if you don't connect, do whatever connects you. Oh, okay, don't, let's say, don't quote me, yes? Because somebody, but that's my idea. I know. That's why I'm saying I've got no problem with Hashem. The problem is with human beings. That's the problem. I've got problems with Hashem, different, but not this. The idea is with Hashem is I have to connect myself. That's the idea. That's why we have the tefillah.
So first, you have to find faith.
Yeah, of course. And by the way, if you're talking about faith, this was the whole idea of the Chagim, because faith is when your sechel stops. People don't realize it. Faith is not knowledge. Faith is above knowledge. Because if I know, it's no faith. It's a very interesting point.
Yeah, faith begins where intellect stops.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and that's what God wants us. He wants us to have the faith, not the intellect. It's a very tricky thing. But you know, when you look around, you see your faith grows up. And I hope that the Chagim helped us and we take the light of the Chagim to the rest of the year.